This is a beginning today of a new series. My catalyst for today, and it will continue in fact into a short series, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 8. Remember my series on favorite verses? This has become one of my newest favorite verses. And I first seen it and grabbed onto it maybe a month or two ago. It was in a letter from Answers in Genesis that was kind of used this as a jumping off verse as well. And it caught my mind and my spirit almost immediately. And I almost immediately knew that this would become a catalyst for a series of messages. Now, these series of messages won't be anything new and life-changing, but they will be the essence of the basis of our Christian faith, what we believe, and the importance of what we believe to hold on to it. It was kind of like this verse came out of nowhere to become one of my favorite verses. It became important for me to share some of the important thoughts from Scripture as it relates to much of our Christian life and the importance of living out and speaking and standing firm on what we believe, which grows into a series of what do we believe and how important the basic tenets of our faith are for us to hold on to. So today I want to lay a background, a foundation, and I don't anticipate this being a long message, so you got a really good shot at getting out on time today. I won't promise that, but there's a shot at it. It lays a foundation that will begin this series. The verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 8, or chapter 14, and verse 8. It's kind of an unusual verse. For if the bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? Now, that's one I'm sure all of you have memorized. I don't remember ever hearing that verse before, although I know there was a time many years ago that I preached through 1 Corinthians. I'm sure I dealt with it, but I don't remember. Let's lay the context. And right up front, I want to tell you that I'm not going to use this verse in the context. Yeah, I know that's sad when I preach about context, context, context. But I do want to talk about the context just to let you know that there is a context. But what I'm going to do is to take this verse and make application with it. Sometimes you can do that if you're careful and you understand as listeners that this is an application. It's kind of like an illustration to help us get motivated in the right direction. Application made in different areas of the Christian life and not just the context itself. But let's talk about the context. The context of this verse is found in the discussion on spiritual gifts. And I know that some of you would like to talk about spiritual gifts, and you know that's on my itinerary in this coming year probably to talk about spiritual gifts. I believe it's one of the most important aspects of the Christian life that often we fail at. We don't understand enough about it, and we shirk away from it. And we kind of intentionally do that, I think. But this is a discussion that starts in chapter 12, and in the middle of it, in chapter 13, we have the catalyst for using the spiritual gifts, which is love. And even at the beginning of chapter 14, the verse it says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. There is that catalyst that should be a part of the Christian life. That we don't do things just to do things, but we do them out of love. Through the love of God flowing through us, that we serve Him in the love that He has given to us. This context primarily deals with tongues and prophecy and view of other gifts as well, but particularly those things are mentioned. The discussion starts in chapter 12, as I said, with 13 being in the middle of it, a catalyst of use of the gifts, that of love. We are told that the gifts are of very little, particularly in chapter 13, they are of very little value. The use of spiritual gifts are important for us, but they are of very little value if not used out of love. Serving God, serving Christ, needs to be done in a spirit of love and a heart of love. Now, one of the things that when we get to this again is that we are so confused about what love is. That's part of the issue. But there's other things involved as well. In verse 1 of chapter 14, it starts by pursue love. That is one of the most important things for us within the Christian life. But I don't want to get into the actual context so much right now. As I've said, we will try to do that another time. And what I want to do today is to apply this a little bit differently. In doing this, I again leave this warning of what I'm doing. I'm taking it out of this context specifically for my application that I see, I think about, that my mind from the very beginning went to. Because of the powerfulness, for me at least, of this verse. It was written dealing with gifts, but it lends itself to be applied or used to illustrate probably other principles, even other than the principles that I'm going to be talking about. And so that's what we're going to do. So let's talk about the application before I get into specifics, and I won't get into specifics today. In a recent series, in fact, it was just finished. I don't know if I ever finished it or not. But in a recent series, one of the things we talked about is the realm in which we live in this world is filled with this battle between good and evil. Right? We have two sides. Those that belong to God, that are of God and belong to God, that are His creation and His ones that He has brought to Himself in salvation, the angels that have stayed true to Him, all the kingdom of God, all that exist under the authority of God in His creation to bring glory to His name. And then there is the rebellion side of Satan and his angels, the angels of God that followed Satan, and those in the world that have not trusted their faith in Jesus Christ. The world system, the cosmos in Greek would be referred to, that system under the authority of God. There is this battle that ensues. Ephesians chapter 6, I believe it is, talks about that we are to suit up in armor to be able to stand against the powers and the principalities, the evil forces, so to speak, within this world. And many of you realize that there is this great battle that is taking place. There's probably so much more involved in our lives in dealing with this battle of good and evil than you ever realize. I don't know about you, but most days I don't stop and look around and wonder what's going on around me in the unknown, in the spiritual realm. But yet, there's that one example, and I always forget whether it's Elisha or Elijah, but that God opened the eyes of his servant so that he could see the battle of the angels of God and the angels, the followers of Satan, the battle in the spiritual realm that was taking place over the city. They were fighting for control within the physical realm as well. And God opened the servant's eyes, and wow, if only our eyes would be open sometime to that battle that's taking place around us. Sometimes you feel it. Some mornings you get up and it starts and it never ceases all day long. At least it can be that way. This verse comes from a military background. Depending on your translation, you probably have a word in your translation that is either bugle or trumpet. Could be a horn, but I don't think so, probably. I didn't see any of those. But probably a bugle or a trumpet. In the Old Testament, you have the ram's horn that would be essentially somewhat the same thing. Probably here, it's a bugle. What was it used for? Now, does anybody play a bugle? A true bugle? They're a very simplistic instrument. There's no valves. All it is a piece with a mouthpiece and a bent and the horn or whatever. It comes in different sizes, shapes, all that kind of thing. Call them different things. But essentially, the notes are formed at your mouth. With your mouth, your tongue, I don't know what all. I once, when I was a kid, picked up a trumpet and somebody told me I blew it and nothing happened. And somebody says, well, you got to put your lips out there and you got to make them vibrate or something, kind of, I think, is what it is. And I made a noise. Wow. Well, with a trumpet, you at least have some valves up here. Not very many. What is there, three? But you have some. Bugle, you don't have any. And you can only play five notes. That's what I read anyway. I don't know that experientially, but that's what I read. You could do five notes. What was it used for? It was used for communication. Within the military setting, at least. Think about it. We read a story at the beginning of our service about Gideon. And everybody had their 300 men. Everybody had their trumpet and their torches under a pitcher, right? And they were to blow their trumpets and break the pitchers and shout their saying. Well, there was three groups around the camp of the enemies. Now, if you remember right, I didn't go back in and look at the numbers and stuff, but this is a big army that took up a lot of space and a lot of room that was coming against Israel. And there was 300 of Gideon's men in one place and 300 in another place and 300 in another place surrounding the enemy. How were they all going to come together at the same time? Well, communications. What was the communications? Well, the biggest part of the communication was the bugle, was the trumpets, was the horns. When Gideon and his men, Gideon would blow his and his men would blow their horns and break their pitchers, the others around, the other two companies, would hear it and they would do the same thing. Back in the early days of our culture, of our military people. They had buglers within their cavalry, right? And they would blow. And throughout history, there would be a tune that they would blow that would mean charge. There would be a tune that would maybe mean retreat. Or I don't know if there was one that said lay down and take a nap or not, but I would have had that in there somewhere. Wake up was reveille. I mean, there's just all kinds. And still today at the graveside of military people, we will play taps. You know, there's different things, but it was the form of communication. Today we have technology. We have radios. Sometimes they work. And from our experience, when we went to, a few years ago, went to narrowband, our communications got really bad for a while. Then they started working on it, and they've kind of gotten pretty good again. Still narrow band, but there's a lot more expense involved in making them better. But we count on our communications when we're fighting fire, when we're on emergency calls of any kind. You got to be able to communicate, to be able to work together in a coordinated effort to do what you need to do. We can even use computers and satellites and everything else today. But they relied on sound for the most part. Messengers, yeah, but that was slow. But the bugle, that was fast. It was simple. There were no vowels to mess up. You could only play the five notes, but somebody that was skilled would be able to do that and play the right notes to tell the rest of the troops what they needed to do. It was communication. What if the bugler wasn't that good? What if he would ultimately or many times hit a lot of wrong notes? Let's just say he was learning. Missed it. I blew charge instead of retreat. Or the soldiers would kind of, what was that anyway? What are we supposed to do? And they didn't know. Remember the children of Israel traveling through the desert, through the wilderness? How did they know when to get ready and to go move and stuff? I'm not sure about that. But I would imagine that a horn or something was probably used for that. But if it is not clear what is being played, the army does not know what to do. Kind of sounds like charge, but it wasn't. What do we do? It ends in confusion. That is what happens. Now let's say that the church is the bugle. God's communication to the army comes through the church. Now, here's my application, okay? I've taken it out of gifts, and I'm applying it to the church, particularly to the church as being the bugles. God's communication to the army, God's communication to the world that we live in, God uses the church, He works through the church. God said, or Jesus said, God said, I will build my church. And that is the place that we are in within this world today. We are part of the church because that is God's program for today. And we are His bugle, so to speak. Pastors and teachers and the folks, the people within the church are the bugle. What if we're not hitting the right notes? What if we're making sounds that don't make sense? What if we're making sounds that don't have any meaning to them? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? That hit me. as I say from time to time, that I believe the church is missing out on all that we're supposed to be today. I'm quite sure that we're not doing all that we could be doing. But what if we're hitting some bad notes? What if I know that there's churches out there that are hitting bad notes? And it's a confusion to the folks that are hearing the sounds. The indistinct sound. And God is calling us to battle. God is calling us to stand firm and not allow the gates of hell to prevail against us. What are some of the distinct sounds that we should be bugling today? Give you some time to think about that. What should the church be saying? What should the church be communicating in this world that we live in today? In the next few weeks, we want to underline what they are, at least to some extent. Trying to hit the right notes. Oftentimes, it takes a lot of practice. But it is what God has called us to do. And so I would ask God to help you communicate as you should the truth in the world in which you live as individuals, and that as a church that we might hit those notes in a resounding way, in such a way that the distinction of the notes may be clear. That people will hear the truth of God, and the truth of God might change their lives. May we ask God how to communicate in the world that we live in. And may we also, as we prepare for this, ask God to prepare our hearts. In what part in our lives and in the ministry of the church that we may take to make sure that the notes are being sounded in a way that we understand the communication of God, the call of God, the truth of God, that we might live and honor Him within that. Let's pray. Father, there's a lot of things here and a lot of things that the Spirit of God must minister to in our hearts. We live in a day and a time where there seems to be quite a bit of compromise. There seems to be a lot of going in directions that don't reflect the true sound of the bugle, the truth of your communication to us through your word. And that's basically where it starts. So Father, I just pray that you would help us, first of all, to desire to be a clear sounding, intentionally speaking the truth in love. And again, we can't leave that love out. But that people might be able to clearly hear and understand your love. Not to shrink back and to allow things to grow in an untruthful way, but to honor you in truth and love. We pray that you would help us to search our hearts and commit ourselves to this end. In Jesus' name, amen.